Sportscast, August 27th, 2021. If you haven't yet, please subscribe in all our channels, twitch.tv, YouTube, Twitter, and Apple Podcasts. And if you're an Apple Podcast, please leave a rating and review. It will help us out tremendously. And visit us on thesportscast.net, thesportscast.net, and download our app, The Sportscast. The NFL preseason is wrapping up this weekend. Many teams have named their starting quarterbacks for at least week one. Of course, other teams are still deciding what to do, like the Patriots. And join us all the way from North Florida, Mr. DeLugo from Generation Jag Jordan. Welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thanks for having me. Always have a great time.
Yeah, Jordan, great summer, long summer. How was your summer?
Hot. I'll tell you that much. It's been hot and rainy here in North Florida, but a lot of training camp action for the Jaguars, a lot of big storylines going on with Trevor Lawrence, Urban Meyer, Tim Tebow, all that fun stuff. So it has been interesting, to say the least.
It definitely had that Patriots feel, because I remember a few years ago that ESPN and everyone was at the Patriots training camp for some reason. Jacksonville kind of had that feel too, but not as much, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, there were a lot of stars in camp for the Jaguars in terms of visitors. You had Jimmy Johnson come in. Drew Brees was there yesterday hanging out with the team, talking to the team. But, yeah, from a coverage standpoint, you also had NFL Network out there, ESPN out there, multiple different days. Jaguars legend Maurice Jones-Drew, he came out, and, you know, he's a part of NFL Network as well. So, yeah, a lot of media coverage, a lot more than normal.
Yeah, definitely. And, of course, looking forward for this upcoming season for the Jags. And, of course, you'll let us know what are the expectations. Also joining us today, Ryan Krista from upstate New York. How you been?
Santiago, it's good to be here. Happy football season, everybody.
Happy football season. And we got a lot going on this packed show. First, the Jaguars, Jordan, they named the quarterback Trevor Lawrence. Of course, Minshew was rumored to perhaps be that starter quarterback. Tell us the whole process behind the scenes with that, and are you content with it?
Well, certainly Trevor Lawrence is the starter and should have been the starter for most of training camp. I understand kind of making him earn it early on. However, waiting until halfway through the third week of preseason, in my opinion, was a little bit too long to drag this whole thing out. It was pretty clear that Trevor Lawrence is a better quarterback than Gardner Minshew, based on what we've seen in training camp, based on what we know about them coming into training camp. Obviously, Trevor Lawrence, the number one overall pick, Gardner Minshew, a former sixth rounder who struggled last year. Urban Meyer finally came to the correct decision. I don't think he ever in his mind actually believed it was a real competition. It was more about breeding the idea of competition. I do think he let it go on a bit too long. I could have seen him maybe going into preseason week one with a competition, but after that, it was pretty clear that Trevor's the guy, in my opinion.
Ryan, any thoughts on Trevor Lawrence being the starting quarterback? Were you having any doubts on that?
No doubts. I kind of agree with Jordan there. It lasts a long time than most people expect it. To be honest, after watching the Jaguars' first two preseason games, I think C.J. Beathard might be the better of the quarterbacks between him and Gardner Minshew. So, I mean, I don't know what the loyalty is there. But Jaguars are definitely a work in progress. They'll take some time, but, you know, they got a coach and they got a quarterback. So, we'll see where it goes.
Jordan. Yeah, C.J. Beathard and Gardner Minshew are now, according to Urban Meyer on Wednesday, they're competing for that number two job. So you're right there that Beathard has kind of worked himself into that competition to be the primary backup behind Trevor Lawrence.
Jordan, tell us your thoughts of the Jaguars' performance in this preseason. Of course, you know, it's hard to measure what's happening. A lot of players are playing for a spot. But what did you think about their performance this past couple of weeks?
It's obviously been a bit underwhelming when you talk about the first team offense and The first team defense, we can start there just because everybody always talks about the offense. The run defense has been on point. They've been stuffing everybody, and that's been the case throughout training camp as well. That interior, the defensive line looks really strong. Pass defense, you saw Jameis Winston kind of torch them first two drives against the Saints, and Case Keenum had his fair share of success as well in week one with the Browns. So the pass defense, the pass rush, you want to see that get dialed up a bit. Certainly there are a lot of new pieces, a new defensive scheme. Joe Cullen is calling plays for the first time in his NFL career as the defensive coordinator. He's obviously trying to emulate what you see in Baltimore, coming over from that system. A lot of pressure, a lot of man coverage, a lot of nickel and dime looks. It hasn't quite turned out the way you'd hope early on the defensive side of the ball. On the offensive side of the ball, also, Trevor Lawrence has not led a scoring drive yet. However, if you look at some of the situations surrounding him, you can kind of see why, with the offensive coordinator kind of refusing to show their playbook, trying to call a very vanilla offense. That, I think, has worked to Trevor's disadvantage. And I think having three offensive linemen out against the Saints, who have a very tough defensive front and defensive as a whole, was not an advantageous situation for Lawrence. But you've seen the development from week one to week two of the preseason. Week two, he's out there making adjustments at the line of scrimmage, helping his guys out with protection, seeing things. And then he's also getting on the move. You saw a PA roll out. He's scrambling in the back of the end zone for his life, but he throws an absolute dart to Laviska Shenault. Not a lot of guys can make that throw. You saw him get a first down with his legs on third down. So I think you've seen some of the development you'd like to see from him. Obviously, you want to see them get in the end zone prior to the regular season with that first team. But I think there's a bit of an overreaction to what's happened in the preseason. It's just one of those situations where we live in the here and now 24-hour news cycle, social media, everybody has an opinion, but I'm not personally panicked about what we've seen in the preseason so far. And for anybody who had expectations of this team competing for a division title or anything like that, I think that was perhaps their own issue. I don't think this team looks too different than what you'd expect from a new coaching staff, new quarterback, all the newness in Jacksonville. It's going to take some time to come together. And they frankly don't have a lot of stars yet.
Jags 0-2. They got one more game this weekend against Dallas Cowboys. Hopefully get pick up a win. But if they go defeated, that's fine. It is preseason.
I got a question here for Jordan here. Has there been any mention of, you know, Urban coming from college, if his coaching style, you know, is rubbing players the wrong way? I thought I might have seen that, you know, but that's also a social media thing. So I just want to know what you, in the inside, what you're hearing from that, Jordan.
Yeah, the mention of that from Pete Prisco, who is a guy that used to cover the Jaguars and work Jacksonville sports media, I was a little surprised hearing that. I haven't heard any rumblings about players not liking what's going on. It was pretty odd, the reasoning behind what Pete Prisco was saying. He was saying that players don't like to be told to hydrate, or don't like the coach coming on the big loudspeaker kind of just giving instructions in between drills. Like, if that's what your big issue is with Urban Meyer, that's kind of odd. Like, to me, it seemed like Pete Prisco was grasping at straws a little bit. I obviously don't know if he actually did hear something from players, but all the feedback that we've heard from players on their social media, on press conferences, what I've witnessed myself at practice, I haven't seen any sort of discontent. And the thing about Urban Meyer is he's pushing these guys, and he's going to say that he's going to push them. That's what he does. But he also is looking to provide them with the best possible resources for them to improve themselves. He's installed all sorts of recovery technology, from cryo to infrared, and that's helping the players out. He's got a very extensive coaching staff and recovery and training staff. And he's also the reason they're fast-tracking a new football performance center that's going to be built outside of Jacksonville. As soon as this season's done, they're going to start construction. And that should be completed in 2023. So everything I've heard has been positive. I don't know what Prisco heard. Is it possible that some of Urban Meyer's strategies will not work with these professionals the way they did with college players? Yes. But to my knowledge and from what I've witnessed, I haven't seen any of that yet.
Okay. That's good. Thanks.
Yeah, no, it's quite impressive, the whole dynamic with Urban Meyer. And now with that training facility, which I saw the preview of it the other day, looked pretty nice. Kind of reminded me of Miami's training camp a little bit. Their training facilities, which.
Yeah, they've talked about wanting to emulate some of what Miami's done, especially in the stadium. They're not going to rebuild a new stadium or build a new stadium. They're going to renovate the current one. And one of their plans is to implement the shade like Miami has done.
Makes sense. Yeah. Jacksonville does get hot, right, Ryan?
Oh, yeah. The sun's brutal.
Not like that, yeah. We don't know that kind of heat in upstate New York. But.
You got to worry about this with the snow. I'm surprised the Bills doesn't have a dome, but that's another.
That stadium issue is another here point of contention here in West New York, but that's all right.
Travis Etienne, running back, was announced he will be out all season, a huge injury. How huge of a loss is that, Jordan, and who will be the main guy now for running back?
Well, it's certainly a big loss. He's a player they selected 25th overall. They expected him to be able to contribute as a receiver out of the backfield, as a receiver lined up in the slot, out wide, and obviously as a running back as well. So it's a big loss. He's a big guy that runs really fast and he catches the ball well. So big loss. Obviously, he wasn't able to show much in the preseason prior to the injury. The Jaguars were struggling to get him involved. In practice, however, they were regularly using him, like I said, out of the backfield, in the slot, as a ball carrier. And you were able to see that explosiveness that he displayed at Clemson as the ACC's all-time touchdown rushing leader. So it's a big loss. However, it was kind of a pick that was in the draft. It kind of was a luxury pick, in my opinion, because you already did have James Robinson, Carlos Hyde, a couple other young runners that you feel good about. And you've got LaVisca Chenault, who can kind of do some of the things that you talk about Travis Etienne doing. So it is a loss. It's obviously crushing for Travis himself, a rookie going out with the Liz Frank injury. That can be devastating to careers. Hopefully he's young enough and healthy enough to kind of fight through it and get back to where he was before with the foot injury. But I think it's more devastating for him personally than it is for the Jaguars offense. They do lose speed by not having him, but they certainly have a quality starting running back, some good weapons for Trevor to utilize in year one.
Quite impressive. Yeah, they do have Carlos Hyde, great running back. Ryan, anything else with the whole situation up in Jacksonville before we head on to Denver?
Yeah, no, I just continue to add weapons for Trevor. You know, hopefully DJ Chark will get healthy. They definitely need a dominant pass catching tight end, give Trevor some relief, kind of a safety valve there. As time goes on, I think they'll continue to build around this team. So like, I think Jordan say, everybody around Jacksonville and fans, just be patient. My impressions first two games is just the physical ability, how Trevor, his arm strength, but he's gonna be running for his life. It's not a great offensive line. Injuries are not. But they continue to, hopefully don't kill him out there, another Joe Burrow injury, but just continue to build off this and continue to build weapons around him, and you'll see consistent improvement.
Yeah. The tight end situation. I'm glad you brought that up. It's an odd situation, I think, cause you had the opportunity to go get a guy out of Penn State. The tight end over for Pittsburgh now.
Yeah.
You could have got him at 25, 33, 45. He didn't go until, I believe, like pick 51 and Pat Freiermuth. And the Jaguars now have his college tight end coach as their tight end coach. So I just thought the stars aligned there and they didn't take advantage of it. You see what he was able to do, catching two touchdown passes the other day for the Steelers. I think that could have been a big missed opportunity.
Jordan, tight end. Tell us what happened with Tim Tebow. Obviously, you know, hasn't played for years, got cut last week. What happened with that situation?
Yeah, I mean, he was just the worst player on the roster. And I don't say that as a Tim Tebow hater or anything like that. I'm a Gator fan, so obviously I have a lot of love for Tim Tebow. But this is a move that Tebow should have tried to make 10 years ago when teams were asking him to do it. I'm not sure. People say maybe Urban brought him in for the leadership to get people accustomed in the locker room to what Urban Meyer is all about. For me, it was a bit of a farce the whole time. Tight end is a really difficult position to play because not only are you a pass catcher, but you're a blocker and pass protection and as a run blocker. Tebow couldn't block, bottom line. He didn't know how. And I don't blame him for that. This is a guy that's never played tight end before. He's been a quarterback and then he's been a baseball player. So it was a bit of a farce for me the whole time. I was not in favor of the move, and obviously it didn't work out. I mean, he was the worst player on the team. I think it was pretty easy to see.
Ryan, had a great, Tim Tebow had a great short stint with the Broncos. Then afterwards went to the Jets and then tried with the Patriots. But this time with the Jaguars, sounded like it was more hype than reality.
Yeah, I think Jordan hit it, on the head. It's kind of grasping at straws. I was obviously, the Urban Meyer connection, but it was never meant to be, I think team wanted to keep him on because of the type of person he was in the locker room. But I think there's a part of, this really wanted to be an NFL quarterback and stubbornness there, which led him out of the league, but then his desire, now to find a way to get back in. And it was a little too late, like Jordan was saying to this is, I think, sometimes you hear about guys coming in playing tight end, who never played it before, like an Antonio Gates, somebody like that's a freak athlete. Tebow isn't that type of a freak athlete like that, speed and, jumping ability, he's a big, strong guy, just wasn't meant to be.
Wasn't he back 8 years ago, they suggested him playing tight end?
Yeah.
I think out of college, I think teams would want him to try that, but he just too set on playing quarterback.
Where will he go next? You think, Ryan, do you think he'll be going back as an analyst or back to baseball?
I'll probably just back the ESPN college football. I assume, you're doing what he's really good at, and that's talking SEC football. So
quite impressive, but hey, good luck to Tim Tebow, great humanitarian, I say.
Santiago, I've seen him, I was luxury of being in upstate New York is that I got an opportunity to watch Tim Tebow play a good amount of baseball, the Syracuse wasn't far, when the teams at Rochester plays, I saw him in multiple games and literally seen him make contact one time at the plate. So, baseball wasn't his, he brings a lot of attention and hype and a lot of positiveness, but I think his professional athletic career has probably come to an end. But I think there's a lot of other things. He's a great public speaker and goes and speaks a lot. There's a lot of things. Like I say, he's great at talking college football. So his sports career may not be over, but his playing career probably is over.
At 34 years old, we'll see what happens with his legacy. This past week, Ryan, the Denver Broncos has named Bridgewater as a starting quarterback over Drew Lock. What are your thoughts? Is this the right move?
It was a safe pick, Santiago. If you look at the Broncos' first two preseason games against the Vikings and Seahawks, those two teams chose not to play any of their starters. Both quarterbacks started each game, and they got to play. We started our first team offense, and really went against both quarterbacks had great success because they're going into their second strings. You know, KJ Hamler and Drew Lock had a great connection in their first game. You know, well, Teddy Bridgewater and Jerry Jeudy, you know, seemed to be on point the last game against the Seahawks. From what in practice, you know, they're neck and neck. You know, one has a good day, one has a bad day. But I think, you know, when we're talking about character and presence, Teddy Bridgewater just has that, you know. He's not going to make big plays. I think he is what he is. And I think that's what they're going to roll with, you know. And he's not going to make mistakes, you know, get the balls to Jeudy, Sutton, you know, now Javonte Williams, Noah Fant. We've got weapons around him. You don't have to go make the spectacular play. Just get the ball to the open guy. And obviously with Melvin Gordon, you're going to try to run the ball, you know, so the balance is there, but it's an uphill battle. This division's good, Santiago. The Chiefs are the Chiefs, you know, the Chargers. We always talk about the Chargers having world, you know, an amazing roster from top to bottom, and this season's no different. And the Raiders are good. So, you know, there's the Broncos are definitely facing an uphill battle. I don't know if the quarterback of the future is on the roster right now, Santiago, to be honest, you know. I there's a guy down in Lynchburg, Virginia, that would like to be donning the orange and blue next year, Malik Willis, for, you know, but we'll see.
They're comparing him to Patrick Mahomes, right?
He's got that arm strength, that, you know, escape ability. You know, I think he's more Michael Vick than Patrick Mahomes, but Patrick Mahomes is the more, you know, definitely an accomplished passer coming into the, you know, coming from playing at Texas Tech under Cliff Kingsbury. You know, I think Malik Willis is his superior athletic ability and running ability, but may lack a lot of the fundamentals throwing the ball that Patrick Mahomes came in. But like I said, you know, I don't think the Broncos quarterback is on the roster, but I'm definitely, you know, I was more Drew Lock, you know, for that, because I think his upside is bigger than Teddy Bridgewater's. But I'm, you know, now that Bridgewater's a starter, I'm going to go all in for him and see what happens.
Uphill battle, like you're saying. Jordan, they got Bridgewater last year from a trade with the Panthers. Everyone thought that was just, you know, maybe nothing, but it turned out to be that he'll be the starter. What are your thoughts over that?
Yeah, I think Bridgewater has the ability to be an excellent game manager. And I do think he can hit some deep shots if you get the pocket protection. I'm not sure about the Broncos offensive line. I know Garrett Bowles has made progress. I love Quinn Miners, the rookie out of Wisconsin Whitewater. And then you've also got Cody Whitehair, obviously. I think you feel better about that offensive line than you have in a while. So maybe Teddy Bridgewater can't get that time to find all those weapons you've talked about. Javonte Williams was my RB1 in this draft class. I love that guy. So having him and Gordon as a 1-2 punch, I think can be very, very impressive on the ground. My biggest thing, I also like Surtain a lot, obviously the first round pick for the Broncos, and he's looked excellent. I can't get past not drafting Justin Fields. I just can't get past it.
I agree.
Wow. It drives me crazy for them and for the Carolina Panthers, a couple other teams. I'm just like, what are you guys doing?
I agree, Jordan. You know, I think draft day was weird. You know, that's when that report with Aaron Rodgers came out. I don't know how legitimate that was, you know, how close they thought they could get a deal done, you know. So when they didn't draft Fields, you know, or any other, you know, I'm like, okay, this might be happening, you know. and maybe they're wishing that for the future. You know, I think, you know, Rodgers has basically said he's one and done here in Green Bay. So
I don't think they're out of that situation. I think Rodgers could be next year, 2022, maybe the Denver Broncos starting quarterback. And that would make things really interesting.
Yes. You know, I think, the weapons are definitely there in Denver, you know, with the wideouts and, you know, Noah Fanis, you know, great receiver. A tight end, you know, so, and Williams and Gordon. But yeah, I don't think we have that legitimate, you know, Super Bowl contending quarterback on the roster right now.
Aaron Rodgers to Denver, something very, looks very familiar how they did it with Peyton Manning 10 years ago.
Yeah, you know, that's a John Elway effect. You know, we've John Elway as a recruiter is awesome. John Elway as a talent evaluator the last couple of years has put us in the hole, especially in the quarterback position. you know, Paxton Lynch, you know, Brock Osweiler, you know, it's been tough, but, you know, and Drew, and, you know, the doesn't look good at Drew Lock, you know, not in his third year as in our starting quarterback. So, but, you know, we got, you know, I think a legitimate talent evaluator in George Patton, you know, coming from Minnesota, who's got also a very good roster, you know. So we'll see what happens there. But yes, the general way is that bringing in Peyton Manning was awesome. Maybe bringing in Aaron Rodgers. So we'll see.
Got you a chip with Peyton Manning. Another announcement, the Saints announced this morning that James Winston is the starting quarterback for the Saints. Over Hill, Jordan, was that the right move?
Without question. I mean, you've obviously got a lot of money tied up in Taysom Hill by your own doing, I would say. But yeah, Jameis Winston is a quarterback. Taysom Hill is a gadget player, in my opinion, who can get you through in a pinch, but you don't want that to be your starter at quarterback. He just doesn't look like a quarterback. He doesn't play the game like a quarterback. He plays the game like somebody who wants to scramble, make something happen. He doesn't know how to really work through his reads, read the defense. You know, Jameis Winston out there against the Jaguars, when they were blitzing, he knew exactly where to go. When they were dropping in coverage, he was taking what they were giving him. And I think he's a guy that with Sean Payton backing him and teaching him, you could see a career resurgence here from Jameis Winston with all the talent around him, Alvin Kamara, whenever Michael Thomas gets back, and you've got a loaded defense for the Saints. So I think you could see the Saints making it back to the playoffs, certainly, and you could see Jameis Winston having a career resurgence in New Orleans.
Ryan, do you agree with that?
Absolutely. You know, I think Jordan Hill had, like, Taysom Hill is awesome at, you know, coming in and running the ball. You know, last year he was good again, you know, when Drew Brees was hurt. Obviously they trusted him over Jameis Winston to start some of these games, but, and you got a whole season for, you know, to work with. This is the right move. You know, Jameis Winston's looking to revive his career. He basically went to New Orleans on a discount, considering he's making $5 million and Andy Dalton is making $10 million, which is crazy. So, you know, I don't know if New Orleans is the long-term spot for Jameis, but it could be, you know. They definitely had, you know, maybe he found a connection to Marquise Callaway, you know, a guy who had, I think, an average at best career at the University of Tennessee, comes in and looks like a Hall of Fame wide receiver Monday night, you know. But he'll be okay, you know, and Taysom Hill will come in and do his thing, you know, in special situations. I think the contract that Taysom Hill signed was one of those weird ones. It looks like a huge contract, but they can definitely get out of that pretty easily. And I don't think there was a lot of guaranteed money on that, but yeah, it was, we'll see what happens. But yes, Saints should be making right. They just got to figure out this Michael Thomas situation, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's a lot of hearsay going on, you know, finger pointing, you know, stuff like that. Can really affect a locker room, I think, more than anything. You know, they'll get through it a couple of games on this, but it kind of splits, you know, which side you're going to be on. And you want your coach and your best player on the team to be on the same page. So,
anything to say on that, Jordan?
Yeah, I agree that the Michael Thomas situation is concerning if you're a Saints fan. I loved what I saw from Marquez Callaway, obviously. You don't know if he's going to be able to do that for the entire regular season, and you need more than one weapon at receiver. And you saw Adam Trautman, the tight end, he went down against the Jaguars. So, yeah, they could be in need of more weapons early on during this season. But if they can get Michael Thomas right, having him and Callaway and potentially getting Trautman back, and obviously Alvin Kamara with a really good offensive line with Jameis Winston, who's playing well, I think they could still make some noise, especially because they have so much talent and toughness on the defensive side of the ball.
Jordan, definitely a bold prediction. Saints going to the playoffs with James Winston. Very possible.
Yeah. And with the Saints going to playoffs, I mean, you're like, okay, we know the Buccaneers are good and those are two tough games, but I don't think the Falcons are a very good team right now. And I don't think the Panthers are a very good team. So you got four games against, I think, average at best teams in NFL standards. So there's definitely a way for them to definitely, if not win the division, but definitely make it as a wild card.
And there's more spots in the playoffs this year.
Right.
Exactly.
So there definitely possibilities are there. All right. Let's go into the Gators. College football season begins next weekend. Jordan, what are your thoughts with the Gators and how deep can they go?
I don't think this is the best Florida team we've seen. I mean, Emory Jones is fascinating because you haven't seen a ton of him. The glimpses you have seen, you've seen the athletic ability, the big time arm talent. They've got a couple easy games to start the season against Florida Atlantic and USF. Hopefully easy games, I should say. But then week three, they got that big test against Bama. With the way they redid the SEC schedules, that's going to be your litmus test right there. You're not expecting to beat Alabama. Do you look like a competent team against Alabama? If you do, then you've got a shot at winning the SEC East and getting back to that SEC championship. Georgia is always a big roadblock. Kentucky's better than they have been in a while. So I don't think this season is by any means like a lock for the Gators to be SEC East champions or anything like that. I do think they're in the thick of things in the East. 8 or 9 wins is what I'm probably looking at. If Emory Jones really catches fire or Anthony Richardson comes in and plays kind of the Tim Tebow role, you could see maybe an offense that's super dynamic and explosive, and you got to see a better defense than you saw in 2020, obviously, for any of this to come to fruition.
The Tim Tebow episode. Ryan, 8 and 9 wins. What are your thoughts over the Gators this upcoming season?
Yeah, I think that's kind of the standard 8-9 wins. Head to head, you know, we got to, you know, good against Florida Atlantic and USF, you know, so you got, you know, should be a pretty easy game against Florida Atlantic. But then you're going against USF, you know, second year, Jeff Scott, down in Tampa. So it's a road game. So that'd be difficult, you know, in the sense of that. But then you got the Bama game, like you said, like that's going to see how the season's going to go. Do you have to win? No, but you do have to look good in the defense. It really, you know, we can talk about Emory Jones, you're blue in the face, but Todd Grantham's got to, you know, find that right combination, you know. But they brought in some transfers, you know, from Penn State and Auburn to shore up that, you know, the middle of that line, you know. But you got players on this roster still there, you know. Brenton Cox is, you know, can be a great pass rusher. So is Zachary Carter. And you have, you know, a legitimate shutdown corner in Elam. But the problem right now is, you know, our secondary cornerback, Jaden Hill, just went down for the season, torn ACL. You know, I think it's listening to Mullen is going to be a committee that fills in that spot. But I think a player to watch on the defensive side is a guy named DeJuan Black, who was supposed to be on last year's team recruit, but had to go back to junior college for academic issues, but really was one of the best players in junior college last year. And he's going to be playing us what they call a star position, kind of a hybrid, you know. You see him flying around the field. When we have a good star, as we did, you know, a couple years ago with Gardner Johnson, you know, we can be a legitimate defense. I think that's what hopefully will show improvements, you know, going against Bama and, you know, Bryce Young and John Menchie and, you know, all the weapons they'll have to bring to Gainesville. We'll definitely see what improvements we've made. But, yeah, offensive side, I'm excited to see Emory Jones be the guy. I remember a couple of years ago when, you know, Felipe Franks had a horrible injury against Kentucky, you know, and I'm expecting Emory Jones to come walking on the field, and there comes Kyle Trask, and, you know, and the rest is a history last year and, you know, half of that or 2 years almost. Because I thought Emory Jones was the guy, so I was so excited to see him, but now he is actually the guy. You're going to see a guy with a rocket arm, you know. I think I see more of a ball, you know. Kyle Trask is definitely, you know, last year, you know, we were throwing the ball over the field. I think you're going to see a lot more ball control. You know, we got a buttload of running backs. I think it's probably, you know, the deepest position, you know. Can we get stability in the offensive line, you know, consistency, you know. I think 8 wins, like, I think, you know, we'll take the loss maybe against Alabama, but, you know, how to respond the next week against Tennessee, and then you got a road trip to Kentucky. You know, I think I'm circling that Kentucky game, you know, against a very improved team. Is kind of see how that season is going to go. Is it going to be a 10-win, going to improve, get our chances to go to the SEC championship game, or is it going to be 8-4 type of season?
Jordan, anything on that?
Yeah, I think if you can get to 10 wins, it's like a massive, massive win this year. 8 or 9, and you just feel okay, feel average, about on par. But you get to 10 wins, and you're competing for the SEC title there. I think that would be huge for this club as they currently stand.
Of course, they're competing against Georgia in the SEC East, so we'll see how that all goes through. That is all I have. All I know that, there's one thing, big news in world of sports, and Ryan can concur with this. Cristiano Ronaldo signs with Manchester United. Thoughts on that?
I woke up this morning, I thought he was going to City, San Diego, and then, you know, all of a sudden something happened this morning where he's going to United. What happened? Reunited, you know, it's crazy. When year we got Messi going from Barcelona to PSG, and now Ronaldo's going from Juventus to United. So
yeah, Manchester United, back where he first started back about 10 to 12 years ago or so. So he signs and makes the Premier League more interesting. Predictions for this weekend, and yes, it's preseason. Anything can happen. Jacksonville and Cowboys. Who you got, Jordan?
I don't think it matters who wins the game. Obviously, the starters is what matters. You don't know how many guys are going to be out there for the Cowboys. I think it'll be a win for the Jaguars as long as Micah Parsons is nowhere near Trevor Lawrence. You obviously don't want to see Parsons tracking Lawrence down. C.J. Beathard has gotten the Jaguars really close at the end of these games. Maybe with him in the game a little bit more this time around, perhaps, the Jaguars will pull out some magic. I'll give the Jaguars one preseason win.
And Ryan Krista, Jacksonville Cowboys, what do you want to see there?
Yeah, like I think, I think Dallas probably won't show you much. You know, you don't see much out of the starters, I don't think, for Dallas. But again, with a team, you know, trying to build for not just beyond this season, it's important for the Jaguars to feel good about themselves going to the regular season, you know, so I definitely think they'll get the victory.
There you have it. And Rams versus the Broncos, Ryan. What do you want to see for the Broncos this weekend?
I think the Broncos win. The Rams are – the first two games have shown literally nothing in the preseason, and I don't think they will this week, so I think we'll do all right. We haven't given up a touchdown yet in the preseason. We've been rolling here, San Diego, so different, you know, like I said, we haven't played any starting quarterbacks yet, and I don't think we will this week either. So our defense is pretty untested. So I think the Broncos will get the victory.
Jordan?
Yeah, I'll go with the Broncos as well. I'm not sure what either team is really doing in terms of getting their starters out there right now for the third preseason game. If it was up to me, I'd be resting as many guys as I could for this one. But yeah, we'll take the Broncos. Get a little magic in there now that they named their starter. Maybe the defense can keep rolling.
And who will be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots Week 1, Cam or Mac? Jordan.
Oh, I'll take Mac. I mean, I think it was trending in that direction before Cam Newton's whole COVID test confusion and miscommunication. And Bill Belichick, he's all about availability. And I think Mac Jones can certainly do a lot more of what Bill Belichick wants on the offensive side of the ball in terms of throwing accurately, working through reads, staying on schedule. And I think he's looked better than Cam Newton. He's honestly surprised me so far this preseason with how good Mac Jones has looked. He's a guy from Jacksonville. I'll take him as the starter.
Ryan Krista, Mac or Cam?
There's been a lot that's happened since the Patriots played the Eagles like last Thursday, but I mean, Cam looked great against the Eagles running the offense. I think, you know, Mac, yeah, but then obviously we've had this weird episode with, you know, I don't know who, again, finger pointing what's the truth and what's not the truth. And I don't think you do that with Bill Belichick, which kind of gives Mac Jones, you know, I guess it all depends, you know, what the Patriots are trying to get out of this season. You know, do they want to contend? I think if they want to contend, they put Cam Newton in because I think he'll give you the best shot of winning. Mac Jones, you know, will give you the best shot for the future. You know, when I think Josh McDaniels and Mac Jones is a good combo, because I see in a lot of preseason when they go up tempo is something that, you know, no huddles, you know, spread it out, kind of what Mac did during college at Alabama. He's looked really good. I think he hasn't been obviously as dynamic when they go traditional, but I think, you know, the future of the Alabama connection there with Mac Jones and Damien Harris for the Patriots is they'll put a lot of pressure on Josh Allen and company in Buffalo in years to come.
Mac it is. Anyways, that's all we have, guys. Jordan, what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about the Jags and their potentiality?
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Jordan DeLugo, Generation Jaguar at Generation Jag. You can check out all the work over at genjag.com. I also contribute at Blue Chip Scouting for NFL Draft. So check them out at Blue Chip Scout and bluechipscouting.com.
Ryan Krista, what is the best way to reach you to tell you the condolences of Drew Lock?
Mad Dog Report on Twitter. It's tough. Santiago, I am going to take my son to his first, I guess, football game tomorrow in Buffalo. So we're excited about that. We're doing a little sports weekend. Got the game in Buffalo. Then we're going to go up down Expressway down to Cleveland for a Red Sox and Indians game. So it'll be a fun sports weekend in the Krista household, Santiago.
What a weekend. Well, congratulations. Exciting. And the Bills, I've been hearing some buzz with them with the vaccines. And
yeah, that's I think there's a little frustration that Sean McDermott can't get his star players to get the vaccine, you know, which kind of puts them, you know, under the eight ball in the sense of rules and, you know, lockdown, but whatever. So
we'll see what happens.
Best availability, you know.
And then, of course, Tennessee is going through their issues, right, Jordan, with people getting infected?
Yeah, absolutely. You've got 9 guys over there, I believe, including Ryan Tannehill on the COVID list. Obviously, last week, head coach Mike Vrabel came out and talked about being under COVID protocol after testing positive. And then in Indy, another division rival for the Jaguars, you got All-Pro guard Quentin Nelson and left tackle Eric Fisher both on the COVID list now. So there's some interesting things going on there. And just as we've been on, AJ Cann is now also on the COVID list for the Jaguars to go along with pass rusher Josh Allen. So there's a lot going on here for sure with the whole COVID situation. Hopefully all the teams can get it resolved heading into the regular season.
Yeah, hopefully week one and every week, because every game was played last week. So hopefully it'll be the same for this season. Anyways, you can follow us on thesportscast.net, our website, and of course on via our Twitter, thesportscast1, or on our Instagram, thesportscast1. Preseason concludes this weekend, week one for the NFL, in a week and a half, actually in a week. So looking forward to it, and let's see what happens. Anyways, guys, I appreciate you guys coming on to the Sportscast.
All right, thanks, Santiago.
Thanks for having me.